Parshas Vayeshev starts off with a Rashi. I mean, starts off with a lot of Rashi, but in the second pasuk, Rashi quotes a Medrash. There are a little bit nuances between Rashi and between different versions that we find in the Medrash, but it really raises a disturbing question. Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Megoriyav Beretz Kanan. Yaakov settles in the land of the sojourning place of his father, in the land of Canaan. And Rashi, it's page 198 in the second column, the column on the left, he brings down this idea that Va'od Nidrash Bo, four lines from the top, Vayeshev Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. Yaakov wanted to dwell in serenity, Kafatz Alav Rogzo Shel Yosef. The whole fury of Yosef jumped upon him, leaped upon him. Tzadikim evakshim leishev b'shalva. That tzadikim, they dwell to rest, to reside in peace. And Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hashem says, lodayin l'tzadikim mashem mesukon lahen l'olam haba. It's not enough for tzadikim what is prepared for them in the next world. Elishim evakshim leishev b'shalva b'olam hazeh. But rather they request, they want to rest even in this world in serenity, implying that this world is a place that by definition, a person is going to struggle, a person is not going to have any peace, a person can't have any calm, can't have any tranquility. Is that really what Rashi is telling us? And Rav Schwab, he brings down this idea and he says, why is it fair that a tzaddik who wants to serve Hashem from Shalom, from Betach, Yaakov Avinu, he's already been through so much. You just look at what happened in Parshas Vayishlach. Look what happens in Parshas Vayetze. Look what happens to him in Parshas Toldos. So far, his whole life has been so turbulent, has been so challenging, and he wants to just have a quiet day. I don't understand. Yaakov Avinu can't ask for a quiet day? So the way Rav Schwab approaches it shares a very important insight for each and every one of us, and especially with the upcoming Yontif of Chanukah next week. Rav Schwab points out is that the Avos had a unique role in this world. And we see that Avram Avinu was the one that began this, Yitzchak continued it, and Yaakov also. And what was that? Their role was to be Mefarsim Shem Shamayim Ba'olam. Their role was to publicize the name of God in the world. That whenever Avram Avinu was traveling throughout the world, he was Korei B'Shem Hashem. He called out in the name of God. And that was teaching the world that there is a Baal Habira, there is a master of creation, there's a master of the world, there's a Borei U'Manig, there's a creator and one that makes everything happen. V'hu levado osa v'osav yasa l'chol ha'masim, and he's the one who did, who does, and will continue to make everything happen. And that's what Yitzchak Avinu does, v'yikra b'shem Hashem, and Parshas Toldos, and Yaakov Avinu as well. In Shechem, in Beit El, where he builds altars. And he also calls out in the name of God. And he lets everyone know that Hashem is God. But when he comes to Eretz Megori Aviv, after he confronts the difficulties of making it into the land, and he comes into the land, so then Rav Schwab says that what he does is he pulls back on his avodah for the sake of making himself whole, to build the Beis Yisrael, to build the house of Yisrael, and he doesn't worry anymore about being the Mefarsim Hashem in the world. And that's what it means, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva, that Yaakov wanted to dwell in serenity. He wanted to have calm in his life. It means that he didn't want to have to be sovel the responsibility. He didn't want to have to bear the responsibility of making God's name known in the world anymore. And he says that this was the kitrig against Yaakov Avinu. This is what the Medrash has, the Yetzirah attacking, the Satan saying to Hashem, how can it be that Yaakov requests this with chutzpah? Rashi here doesn't mention the Satan. Rashi said that Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem himself, the Chvod of Atzmo says, what does he expect? Because that Yaakov Avinu has this responsibility to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim V'Rabim. just like his grandfather did, just like his father did. And that's the whole idea, Davka Rogz of Shel Yosef, because what happened with the whole episode of Yosef? The whole episode of Yosef, it doesn't just mean that Yaakov Avinu experienced turbulence and turmoil in his life. But think about Yosef HaTzadik, and it's something that we see a little bit in this parsha, but next parsha becomes obvious, and then in Parshas Vayigash, even more obvious, and then in Parshas Vayechi, it continues. The whole episode ultimately turns out to be a great sanctification of God's name. We know that the Mitzrayim are blown away because Yosef, with everything he goes through, and you're not right, he's brought out of the pit in the beginning of Miketz, to Paro says, I hear you're the dream interpreter, and what does Yosef say? Says, it's not me, God interprets dreams. Right? Yaakov Avinu comes to Egypt, all of a sudden the famine ends. And the Nile is blessed once again. And people see that Yaakov is this great, godly, and holy person, and Yaakov teaches Mitzrayim, Yosef teaches Mitzrayim, what it means to have faith in one God. And so really what Rav Schwab suggests is the whole episode, the whole narrative of Yosef has nothing to do with the notion of struggling. But what it is a vehicle to be mar b'kvod shemayim ba'olam, to reveal the glory and the honor of God in this world. And what this idea of Rav Schwab is teaching us is something that's really echoing a theme we saw from him before, that this is really the role of every Jew in the world. That every Jew in this world has a dual role of one, of the inner life, of your own personal life, but every Jew also has a responsibility as a public persona of being mar b'kvod shemayim ba'olam. It's not enough for a person to say that I'm just going to live my own life, I just want to focus on myself, I don't want to have what to do with the outside world. Chas v'shalom. God forbid, we know we've discussed many times what the Rambam, Maimonides, writes in the Laws of Tshuva, what we call such a person. And the Rambam has very harsh words for such a person. And especially when we come to the Yontif of Chanukah, because Chanukah, of all the Yamim Tovim, it's the Yontif of, it's the last Yontif that we have. It's the Yontif of Mashiach's time, because we know there's no Yontif, there's no holiday after Chanukah. Chronologically, Chanukah happens after Purim. Purim happens in between the two Beis HaMikdashes, between the two temples. Chanukah happens during Bayis Sheni, during the Second Commonwealth, the Second Temple era. There's no formal holidays after Chanukah. And we know that Chazal teach us that means that the light of Chanukah has to last us until the end of days. And one of the fundamental messages of Chanukah that we really don't have by any other holiday is that where are you supposed to celebrate this holiday? You're supposed to celebrate it outside. You're supposed to take that menorah and put it outside. It's only because of times of persecution that the custom has switched to lighting the menorah inside the house. But the real place that the menorah is supposed to be lit is outside. That's where we're supposed to be lighting the menorah. Because the message of Chanukah is that, yes, although the mitzvah is ner ishu beiso, the mitzvah is a mitzvah on the home, but guess what? It's a mitzvah on the home to move the message of the home outside. And Chanukah reminds us of the connection, the interconnectivity that we all have. And that's why, you know, the Chanukah is also very unique in another way. We've pointed this out before many, many times. That Chanukah is the only time I can see someone else doing a mitzvah, and I can say a bracha on it. We know that even if you don't have the opportunity to light a menorah one night, for whatever reason you can't light a menorah, it's not such a crazy idea, it's a possibility. Anyone's flying to Eretz Yisrael a certain time, could be, can't light a menorah, right? Whatever it is, people traveling, however it happens, it could be a person's not lighting a menorah. If you see another Jew's menorah, you can make a bracha of she'asa nisim lavoseinu bayam l'mahem bazman hazeh. There's no other mitzvah like that. That someone else, I can make a bracha on someone else's mitzvah? It's not like shofar, someone's blowing the shofar. No, the mitzvah is listen. Okay, you heard. Everyone hears, you make the bracha. But the mitzvah is lighting the menorah. Someone else lights the menorah, and I can make a bracha of she'asa nisim, the second bracha, over someone else's menorah. Over someone else's mitzvah. How? Because the essence of the mitzvah of menorah is outward focus. Because what is Torah about? Ki ner mitzvah, v'torah or. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or means that the mitzvah of the menorah is about Torah. It's about light. It's not only about a miracle that happened thousands of years ago when a little flask of oil lasted way beyond what we would have expected, but the mitzvah is about the eternity of Torah. That Torah, Netzach l'Yisrael, lo yishaker, that the Jewish soul, the eternal nature of Torah, is not a falsehood. There's a famous story we've shared before that one time there was a man who was a little bit older than Yeshiva Bacher was sitting in the back of the Panovich Beis Medrash. Panovich was the great yeshiva started by Rav Yosef Kahaneman, the Panovich Rav. He was the Rav in the town of Panovich in Lithuania. He was one of the only survivors of the town. He was able to get out because he was a member of the Lithuanian parliament. He had diplomatic immunity. He was on the last train out before the Nazis just closed everything. He couldn't even take his wife and his children. The Kahaneman name only survives because of one son who he sent to learn in Eretz Yisrael before the war. He sent to learn in Israel before the war. And Rav Kahaneman built the Panovich Yeshiva that the whole world will remember the name Panovich. That all the people that escorted him to the train station and screamed out, Rebbe, Rebbe, Nemunzme, take us with you. He said he's building yeshiva. The whole world remember the town of Panovich. So one time it happened in the Panovich Beis Medrash, there was a guy sitting in the back of the Beis Medrash, and someone came up to him and said, can I help you? And he said, yeah, I'd like to learn here. He said, oh, okay. Did you take a bechina with the reshiva, test with the Rosh Hashiva, an interview with Rav Kahneman? No. And he says, where are you from? And the guy held out his arms at Auschwitz. That's where I'm from. So this student in the yeshiva realized, okay, this is not a regular case of someone wanting to transfer in from Yeshiva Hadarom or wherever it is. And he goes to tell Rav Kahaneman, who had a unique sensitivity, of course, to this. And Rav Kahaneman comes over to him and says, I understand you want to be in my yeshiva. He said, yes. He says, come with me to my office. And he says, first, tell me about you. Where are you from? It was a town in Poland. Tell me about your family. Do you have a family? No, he was mamash alone, no one else in the world. And he said, tell me. He said, why do you want to come to yeshiva? He said, because I was a teenager when the war started, and I went to yeshiva. I was learning. He said, you learned before? He said, yeah. He said, tell me the Gemara you were learning. He looks at him, he says, Rebbe, you think I can remember the Gemara I was learning? It's enough that I knew there's something called a Gemara. You know what horrors I've lived through? Panovich Rav says, you want to get to my yeshiva? Tell me the Gemara you were learning. And he thinks, he says, Chulin, I remember there was a Chulin, a Gemara Chulin that we were learning. He says, ooh, very good. He says, tell me the Perek you were learning, the chapter. He says, what chapter? I was learning, you crazy. He says, you want to come into my yeshiva? My yeshiva is one of the best yeshivas in Israel. You want to come into my yeshiva? You have to tell me the chapter you were learning, the Perek you were learning. And he thinks, he says, Kala Basar, is there a Perek Kala Basar? All the meat, right? It's the laws of Kashrus. Says, yeah, Kala Basar, good. Now tell me something from that Perek that you learned. And the guy starts crying. He says, Rashiva, what do you want me to do? You want me to tell you something I learned? I've been through Gehenna. Do you know what was beaten out of me? I don't remember. How can I remember? And the Panovich Rev says, I'm sorry. Then you can't be in my yeshiva. If you want to be in my yeshiva, the bechina for you is you have to tell me one thing you learned before the war from your Rebbe in Chulin, Perek Kala Basar. And the guy is straining, and he remembers a machlokes, argument between Rashi and Tosfos about how to understand an issue of Kashrus, Chanan, Chaticha, Nasis, Nevela, how exactly to understand the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Panovich Rav jumps up, he kisses him on the head, he grabs his hand and says, come with me. And they start running, and they run down the block to the apartment of the Chazon Ish, the greatest Gadol Batorah in Eretz Yisrael at the time. The Chazon Ish, Rabbi Avraham Yishai Karelitz. And the Panovich Rav was very close. He knocked on the Chazon Ish's door and just brought him in. He said, Rebbe, Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, look at this Talmud, the eternity of the Jew. Rebbe, it's not a lie. Look at this Talmud. Do you know, Rebbe, what he lost? Do you know what he lived through? And he remembers a machlokes, Rashi, Tosus, in Chulin Kol HaBasar. Rebbe, this Talmud, this Bachar is testimony to what Klal Yisrael is, to what the Jewish people is all about. And that's what Chanukah is. Chanukah is the message of the eternity of Torah, ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or, when we light the Chanukah menorah, it's not only remembering a miracle, but it's also remembering who we are. It's the light of Torah. That's what a Jew is. A Jew is Torah. And so when you have that mitzvah of Torah, you can't keep it for yourself. A Jew that says, Torah, it's just for me, it's just for my family, chas v'shalom. God forbid, you have to share that mitzvah, you have to spread that as much as you can. And that's why the mitzvah of Neris Chanukah is a mitzvah that goes outside the home. That's why I see someone else's menorah, I can make a bracha. And that was the lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching Yaakov Avinu. You, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva, you wanted to become a private citizen? There's no such thing as a private citizen if you're a member of the Jewish people. You're a member of an Am. You have a responsibility, Laharbos Kvot Shemayim Ba'olam, to be Mar B'Kvot Shemayim, to make Hashem's name known in the world, to be mifarsim, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pshat wasn't he wanted to torture Yaakov by making the episode with Yosef happen, chas v'shalom, but the story of Yosef was a vehicle for a great gilui kvod shamayim. It was a vehicle for a great revelation of the glory of heaven. Right? Why it had to happen that way, we know. So Yaakov was punished for some of the things that he did in his life. We know that Yosef was punished for some of the things that he did in his life. We're not going to get into those details tonight. We've discussed those things over the years, over the past years. But I thought that it's a different understanding. Rav Schwab has a different understanding. I'm not pshat that this world is supposed to be difficult, and this world is, again, Seitzer HaTovi, Yitzer HaNoach. Don't get, you know, we're not looking for easy street here, right? We have to choose to do good, and good isn't always easy. But at the same time, the notion of Yaakov Avinu being challenged is not that Yaakov Avinu wanted to just sit and learn with his sons all day and just, you know, lie down on the couch with a Coke and relax and not work hard. And no, the pshat was that Yaakov Avinu forgot one of his major roles in the world. And one could argue that this is really the role of every Jew, to be mefarsim, that we understand who we are. That's why everything that we do, you know, we've heard so often the idea of a Kiddush Hashem and a Chil Hashem, a sanctification of God's name in this world, or a Chil Hashem, a desecration of God's name in this world. How we interact with others, how we talk to others, you know, get a haircut on Friday. Every time I walk into my barber, I'm going to sanctify Hashem's name. And my barber, Rani, asks me questions about Judaism and everything. And Joe, who sits there, the Roman Catholic, asks me questions. And this time they said, Rabbi, what do you think of how the president's dealing with the Khashoggi killing? I'm like, whoa, guys, this is a little heavy, you know. Normally you ask me about religion. Normally, you know, why are we going so deep into politics? No, but Rabbi, really, and the two of them are arguing. I'm like, oh, okay, let's hold on here, guys. So I did answer them, but they, to respect a person that they see as a rabbi, as a godly person, as a person of Judaism. But guess what, Chevra? Every one of us is that. The Chafetz Chaim's son, who was a banker, asked his father, who has to hold himself to the standard? The Rambam has a higher standard of how to conduct oneself as a Talmud Chacham. And the Chafetz Chaim had a son who was a banker, and he asked his father, who has the status of a Talmud Chacham that has to go above and beyond in interactions with non-Jews and the world at large? And the Chafetz Chaim said, anyone identifiable as a Jew has that responsibility in today's world. Everyone identifiable as a Jew. Right, you go into work, they know that you're Jewish. You say before you go into work, I'm going to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Barabim, I'm going to make Hashem's name. Your mom's going to be like a Yaakov Avinu. You're going to be Yitzchak Avinu. You're going to be Avram and Sarah. This is what they did. They called out in Hashem's name, and it's something that each and every one of us can have the zechus, can have the merit to sanctify Hashem's name in this world. So we have to understand that our role as a Jew is not only a personal, a familial role. It's not even a communal role in the Jewish community sense, but really we have to understand our role in the global sense. And that's one idea of Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalav. Again, Yaakov wasn't looking for the easy way out. Yaakov Avinu was looking to transform his role, to give up part of his responsibility, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not ready to let him do. Okay, so that's one idea. And for each and every one of us in our own avod, in our own service of Hashem, and especially in the upcoming Yontif of Chanukah. The next idea has to do with also a very different way of looking at how we should approach challenges, nisyonos, to our character and our service of Hashem. And it's in Perek Lama Tes, Psukim Ches, and test, page 214, 215. So this is when Yosef is being seduced by Eshes Yifas Toar, by Eshes Potiphar, a very, very beautiful woman, this royal minister's wife, and every day in, Chazal tells us, every day for a year, she's trying to get Yosef to be intimate with her. In Pasuk Ches, verse 8 says, Vayimain. Yosef refuses, Vayomer el Eshes Adonav, and says to the wife of his master, "Hein Adoni lo yadai itima babayis v'chalashe yeshlo nasan biyadi, enenu gadol babayis hazem imeni v'lo chosach nimeni mu'uma kiyem osoch ba'asher at ishto v'ich esa hara ha'gedola hazos v'chatosi lelohim." He says, "How can I do this to my master? He's given everything in the house, is under my control. There's no one greater in this house. He hasn't held back anything from me except for you. You're his wife. How could I do this great evil? And I would also be sinning, v'chatasi lelokim, and I'd be sinning to Hashem." So, you know, it's an interesting question. What's Yosef saying here? Why does he throw in those last two words, v'chatasi lelokim, and I would sin to God? Really, to Yosef HaTzadik, what's the major issue? V'chatasi lelokim, I'd sin to Hashem. No way. What do you ask me to do? What's he telling her all of this whole story that, it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be good with your husband. It's not fair to do to your husband. He treated me so well. So what's going on here? So Rav Schwab says we could have a similar question in Parshas Vayetze. Perek Lamed Aleph, if you look back, page 160, right? That when Yaakov calls for Rachel and Leah in the field, and he tells them that, you know, I've seen the face of your father is not like it was with me yesterday or 2 days ago, and, he's tried everything he could to mess me up, and he's, you know, changed my pay 10 different times, all of these things. And he tells them, you know what? I think it's time that it's not going well with your father. And also, God appeared to me and told me, "Kum tse min ha'aretz hazos v'shuv el eretz moladetecha." And also, Hashem said, "Get up and go back to Eretz Canaan." So here also, we find Yaakov Avinu giving this whole song and dance to Rachel and to Leah. Logically, why it makes sense that we really should go back, you know. And also, by the way, Hashem said, "I am Hashem, get up and go back." And what did Rachel and Leah respond? Mom, she say, same thing. They also say the same thing. I say, you know, our father's not treating us the same way. Now, whatever Hashem, whatever the Lord says to you, you do. Right? And they, mamash, the same thing. They follow the same pattern. That they go through this whole explanation, logically, rationally, why it makes sense, and then say, and you know what? Whatever God, whatever Hashem says, that's what we have to do. So why go through the whole ruse? I don't understand. What's the purpose of the whole ruse? With Yosef, with Yaakov to Rachel and Leah, Rachel and Leah talking back to Yaakov, meaning we do what Hashem says, that's it, finished. Why are there any other considerations? So Rav Schwab says a chiddush in the Gemara Nazir. The Gemara Nazir has a famous, famous line. I actually once wrote a paper for graduate school about this line, believe it or not. La'olam yasok adam b'torah v'mitzvah shalo l'shma. A person should always involve himself or self in Torah mitzvah shalo l'shma, not for the sake of God's name, umitoch shelo lishma balishma, because eventually, from this, and the way it's generally understood, and when you do it not for the sake of God, eventually it'll come to the sake of God, right? So that's the way it's normally understood. But the way Rav Schwab wants to interpret the Gemara, it says, no, la'ola means that the starting point on any difficult decision that you have has to be from a rational perspective. What makes sense? That you have to start without God in the equation. When you're discussing important things in life, you have to say, okay, what rationally makes sense here? What, in terms of who I am as a person, in terms of what I value, forget Hashem. What am I supposed to do here? And then, after you make the shelo lishma calculations, the calculations that you don't mention God, then you come to lishma. And he says, why is that? Because it's very interesting. It's a tremendous insight into human psyche. Human beings don't like to be told what to do. We don't like to be told what to do, right? We like to feel that we are in control of our own destiny. We like to feel that we're in charge, and this is the Yerushalmi in Brachos. The Jerusalem Talmud in Tractate Brachos refers to this as the concept of Be'ita, that every human being has a natural inclination to kick away, you know, authority. Everyone has this natural thing that they don't want to be told what to do, to stick it to the man, right? Stick it to the power, whoever the power is. So he says that when you have to start a cheshbon, if you would start calculations of a very difficult decision with Hashem said no, the Yetzirah is going to destroy you. The Yetzirah, I don't say, why do you have to listen to Hashem? The Yetzirah will be all over that. Will be all over that. You first have to see it without the lenses of God on and say, one second, how do I understand this? As a person, what should I be doing? First as a person, then Yirei Shemayim, then worry about what does God want me? Because Rav Schwab is saying, we see that that's what Yosef says, that's what Yaakov says, that's what Rachel and Leah say, because if it's only about Hashem, there could be resentment. Why does Hashem want me to do this? Meaning Yosef is almost convincing himself that, you know, there's a beautiful woman, she wants to do this to me, pushed away from Hashem, you know. We've discussed before, it could be that Yosef himself thought that he was almost rejected by his father. Maybe he thought his father was in on the sale. No, maybe. Remember, we've discussed this. Remember this? This is like a big yesod in Parshas Vayeshev. It's probably the number one question in Parshas in all of Sefer Bereishis. You know, why doesn't Yosef ever send the messenger to his father? Right? Remember? We've discussed this. He was sold by his brother, so why doesn't he send the message to his father? Okay, maybe not this Parsha because he's not powerful enough. Next week's Parsha, he's the prime minister of all of Egypt, arguably the most powerful person in all of the Egyptian empire right under Pharaoh. So take an Egyptian royal courier, send them to his father, say, Pops, I'm okay, don't worry. Here's some food. Why doesn't he do that? It's because he thought his father was in on it. And here's Yaakov Avinu perhaps even thinking Yosef thinking that he was rejected by his father. So, one second, why can't I do this just from a normal person perspective? Forget Hashem. And then, Chatasi Lokim. Lastly, I would be sinning to God. I can't do this. But you can't start with Chatasi Lokim. And so too, when Yaakov was speaking to Rachel and Leah to pick up and leave their father's home, right? I can't tell them this is what Hashem wants. Maybe they're going to resent. Why is Hashem telling us to do this? Maybe they're going to resent it. I have to help them understand, well, this is the right thing for us as a family. Your father's not being right to me the way he's been treating us and the way... And also Hashem said, and their response is telling Yaakov what? What's their response telling him? Don't worry, we get it. Our father's not treating us the way he treated us either before. Our father's looking to us like we're strangers now. And also Hashem says, so that's it, let's go. And it's a yesod, or if Schwab is saying, whenever we face difficult challenges, we have to understand that if we just start by saying, this is what Hashem wants, finished, the Yetzirah will be all over that. We'll attack that. The sense like, who's Hashem? Why do you have to listen to Hashem? Aren't you frustrated that Judaism is so restrictive and, you know, you can't... Okay, take a step back. You know, before I start talking about God, let me look at the situation objectively. And it's really a fascinating approach to what's known as Mochemes HaYetzer, the fight of the Yetzer. And it could be that this is what the Gemara in Brachos is talking about, that when a person first has a challenge, Yargiz Yetzer Tov al Yetzer Hara, the first thing you do is, before you think about Hashem, meaning only if that doesn't work, then they say Shema. Why Shema? Why is Shema so powerful? Because what is Shema? How should that help you fight the Yetzer Hara? Because what is Shema? Kabbalah Sol Malcha Shemayim. When you say Shema, that's when you accept Hashem is king. What Hashem says goes. Okay, Shema, Hashem said, that's it. Okay, enough Yetzirah. But you do something before that. Yargiz Yetzirah Tov al Yetzirah. You cause the Yetzirah Tov to attack, meaning the side of you, what's good, what's right. Meaning independent of, okay, Hashem commanded. Right? Aside from just the black and white. Just the Yetzirah Tov. And it's a very important yisod, I think, in Avodas Hashem b'chlal, that it's not always the healthiest thing to just say, listen, whatever Hashem wants, that's what I'm going to do. Because is it what you want to do? Is this what you think is right? I'm vatal my das to Hashem, no offense. You're all great tzaddikas. You could do it. For me, just to say, whatever Hashem wants, that's it. I don't care. Okay, so then why did I have that extra Carvel ice cream? Not that I had Carvel ice cream, but I'm saying, did Hashem really want me to have that? I don't know. Yeah, you know, really, everything's based on Hashem? Okay. Do I live every little kutzo shel yud, every little dot? Unfortunately, I don't think I'm on that level yet. So that's why we have to see why things make sense for us. Right? And that's what he's saying. It's a fascinating. La'olam, and that's what he's shot in the Gemara Nazir, Chaf Gimon Beis. It's not that, look, that's where human beings, that you should try, you know, eventually get to Lishma, there's a step of Lishma. He's saying, no, la'olam, that's how you have to attack the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer, you first have to attack Shalol Lishma. And from Shalol Lishma, you move to Lishma. Not that eventually you'll get to a place where only you have is Lishma. He's saying, no. Whenever you're fighting the Yetzer Hara, it has to start with the Shalol Lishma, and then you can come to a Lishma. Which I thought is, it's really a novel reading of that Gemara in Nazir. And I think it's something very insightful, very, very thought-provoking. In terms of the last idea, wow, okay. So we're not going to get to all ideas. Over a half hour we try to end it, but still one idea we have to, because Mamish, someone asked me about this at Shabbos. Like, why is it? Why is this fair that Yaakov Avinu, in the beginning of Vayishlach, he makes all of these cheshbonos of, you know, facing Esav, Davin, split the camp, get ready for war, and it seems to be that he is credited with all of these things. And in this week's parsha, we know that Yosef is in prison in Egypt for 12 years, and the Medrash tells us that he was really only to be there 10 years. 10 years, why? For the Lashon Hara said about his 10 brothers. So he was supposed to be in the jail for 10 years, but it was an extra 2 years because of his lack of faith, the Medrash says. Because of his lack of faith. Because he asked the butler, when you come out, to please mention me to Paro. And it's a famous shaila. It's a famous question. I don't understand. Yosef was a tzaddik yisod olam. Right? This was after he passed the incredibly difficult challenge of the enticements of Eishes Potiphar. So Yosef really revealed incredible, incredible greatness. So, but he shouldn't have done hishtadlus. There's a concept called hishtadlus that you have to put in your own efforts. So why were Yosef's efforts wrong? What were wrong about his efforts in asking the butler to remember him? So if you remember, we had wumpshat. Cheryl, you remember in the notes? We had wumpshat. Was the, what? What? Remember, we had it. Oh, so that's Gevalt. You know, that's like the Chassidus Shemaisa, that whenever there was a tzara to the community, so the tzaddik would go to a certain forest, a certain place in the forest, and he would say a certain tefillah. They forgot the tefillah. They'd go to the same place in the forest. Then they forgot even the same place in the forest. They would just say, Hashem, listen, we forgot the tefillah, we forgot the forest, but we knew that our ancestors, you know, they'd cry out to you, and there's a problem with crying out to you, right? So we know there's a pshat. There is a pshat, right? So one pshat is that this isn't Rav Schwab's pshat. I'm going to share Rav Schwab's pshat, which is based on a diuk a careful reading of a pasuk on page 218, right? That's where the pasuk is. We'll get to that pasuk. But one pshat that we saw that Revolvi suggested in the past was that asking the butler to remember him was really grasping at straws. Like, that was inappropriate hishtadlus. That was inappropriate. The butler, meaning the baker was just killed by Pharaoh. The butler is going to like, oh, by the way, Pharaoh, you spared my life. Thanks so much. There's another guy in there. You should really, I'm telling you, he's great. You should pull him out. What? Are you kidding? Really? Really? Like, you know, you're going in for, you know, you're afraid you're going to get fired. And then your friend, as you're going in to see the boss, like, oh, put in a good word for me with the boss. Like, are you insane? I hope to come out of here with my job, right? You know, I should start talking. Oh, by the way, thank you. You didn't fire me. Oh, by the way, my friend, she needs a raise also. You're like, hello? No. Right? So that's one approach. That it was inappropriate effort, because who was the butler? That was really grasping at straws. And that belied a little bit of a lack of emunah, a lack of faith on Yosef, that he was grasping at straws, that even thinks the butler. But Rav Schwab has another diak, has a geshmak diak. It's in Pasuk Yedalet, Perek Mem Pasuk Yedalet, 40:14, the last Pasuk on page 218. Ki im zechartani itcha, because he tells the butler his interpretation: in 3 days you're going to be elevated and you're going to give Paro, right, the royal goblet back in his hand just like he used to. Ki im zechartani itcha, that he asked that I remember you, remember me with you. Kasher yitav loch, right, that just as he's going to do good with you, va'asisa na'imadi chased, you'll do with me a kindness, v'izkartani al paro, you shall remember me to paro, v'hotzeisani min habayis hazeh, and you'll take me out of this prison. What did he say? You'll take me out. Rav Schwab says, what's the Medrash picking up on? Mamish, one word. And again, Medrash is always response. Medrash aren't just stories. Medrash is always responding to something in the text. And Rav Schwab said, what is this Medrash referring to in this text? The fact that he says that you remember me? Okay, remember me to Paro? Okay, maybe that was okay. You have to do all the shtadlis that you can, and that's good shtadlis. But to tell the butler, and you'll take me out of this prison? What? The butler's going to get you out? God's going to take you out. So and maybe if you didn't want to say to the butler, and God will take me out, just say, v'eitzei min habayis hazeh, and I'll get out of this place. But to say, v'hotzei sani, and you will take me out. No, that was inappropriate. That was wrong of Yosef HaTzadik. And that's the challenge that we all have. This is the challenge we all have. And Rav Matisyahu Solomon Shlita, the Lakewood Mashgiach, he should have Rafur Shalem, he should live and be well. You should know, he says that's one of the main messages of Chanukah as a Yontif. One of the main messages of Chanukah as a Yontif is to remember that Hashem is the one that runs everything. The Maccabi stands for Mi Chamocha Be'elim Hashem. Who is like you amongst the mighty, O Hashem? And that's why Matisyahu says it's ironic that the concept of the Maccabi in Jewish lore has become about what? Has become about Jewish strength. He says, Lehefuch, the opposite. He said, that's mamish v'nahafuchu, to take a Purim term and apply, that's the absolute antithesis of what Chanukah is about. Chanukah is not about human strength. Chanukah is about recognizing that everything is from Hashem. Right, and that's the famous pshat. Why did we need the miracle of the Pach Shemen? Why did we need the miracle of the flask of the oil? The miracle of the flask of oil was for what purpose? To remind us, hey, Habibi, that battle you won, that had nothing to do with you. That was all from Hashem. What, you think five brothers get together, this little fighting force, and beat one of the most powerful armies in the world because of guerrilla warfare? Hello, Chever, really? Are you that deluded? It can't be. It can't be. And that's Rav Schwab saying what the mistake Yosef made. And this is a lesson that we all have to learn from. V'hotzeisani min habayis. No, 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 no. It's not your boss that's giving you the extra money. It's not the, it's all mitoch yado harchava v'hamleiv apsucha. It's all from Hashem. Everything that happens, we have to remember, is from the Ribono Shel Olam. And when we do Harishtadlis, this is really one. I think it's one of the greatest challenges in the inner life of a Jew, is that we have to put our greatest efforts forward, yet at the same time remember that what? It's not us. And that's why in the Haftorah of Chanukah, the Haftorah Rodni V'Simchi, which is also the Haftorah of Bahaloscha, we have the famous phrase, Lo V'Chayil V'Lo V'Choach Ki Im Beruchi Amar Hashem. Lo V'Chayil, it's not with your valor, V'Lo V'Koach, and it's not with your strength that you accomplish anything. Ki Im Beruchi Amar Hashem. Hashem says, you know how it gets done? With my spirit. Not with your valor, not with your strength. And it's in fact on Parshas Vayeshev that the Ramban makes his famous comment, HaGezeira Emes V'Hacharitzus Sheker, that God's decrees are true and our efforts are Sheker. That's what he refers them to. He goes, our efforts are false. You can't think that it's your efforts that accomplish. Again, it's very difficult. That's what I'm saying. This is one of the greatest challenges, I think, in the inner life of a believing Jew. That we put in all, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, if you look in Sefer Devarim, which is Moshe's farewell speech, like six farewell speeches from Moshe Rabbeinu to the Jewish people when they're going into the land, this is something he stresses time and time and time and time again. Meaning in the desert, it's obvious everything's from Hashem. There's literally the manna from heaven, the water flowing out of a rock, these miraculous clouds. I mean, it was easy to see God, to recognize, lo v'chayel v'lo v'choch kim beruchi. In the desert, it was easy to see that it's not our valor, it's not our efforts, it's all Hashem. But Moshe kept warning them. Why? Because they're going to go into the land of Israel. And what's going to happen in the land of Israel? In the land of Israel, they're not going to see God's presence. It's not going to be obvious to them. In the land of Israel, the great challenge is that you shouldn't think kochi v'otzem yadi asir li esaze, that it's my strength and my efforts that have yielded this for me. So that's why Chanukah is a time of great introspection. Not only, as we said in the beginning of this year, in terms of our responsibility to share Torah, our responsibility to exude the light of what it means to be a Jew, the light of Torah to the world, the Ner Yishu Beiso, that it goes outside to make a brach on someone else's mitzvah, but really also part of the message of Chanukah, part of the challenge of Chanukah and the opportunity for growth in Chanukah is to have 8 days to bring back, to remind ourselves, that ultimately everything happens. Everything that happens is from Hashem. Right? And I think I told you once that that one time when I met with Rav Shalom Arush, who's written so many beautiful, beautiful books on Emunah and on so many different things. So he wrote, my favorite book of his is the one that he wrote on Chinuch, on educating. And it's very Kedai. And I remember I had a number of Shilas, so I got in to talk to him. And I think I told you this recently, no? Did I tell you this recently? I don't know. Okay. Cheryl says, no, I didn't tell you that recently. But she is the official scribe of our shir. You are the Pinkus. You are the notebook. You are the Pinkus, Cheryl. Every Rebbe had a Pinkus. You are the Pinkus. So I remember I asked him Shilas on concepts of education that he had in the Sefer. And he said, Harav Markus, acherei kichlos hakol, after we've discussed everything, he said, don't think that any of this really makes the big difference. He says, the biggest difference for your kids' chinuch is going to be how you and your wife daven. Because that's what it is. That's what it's going to come down to. He said, I'm giving you all these chesmonos, it's gishmak, it's beautiful, makes us feel good. But remember, the greatest thing you could do for your children's education is how you and your wife davened for them, right? And then we know the Chafetz Chaim was asked, how did he become the Chafetz Chaim? And he held up his mother's tilim. He said, this is how I became the Chafetz Chaim. His mother's tilim was worn with tears. So Hashem should help us that we can learn these lessons of Chanukah, we can learn from Yaakov Avinu, we can learn from Yosef HaTzadik, and Hashem should just help us that we can actualize our potential, allow Hashem to help us in the greatest ways, and share his message out with the world. Shkoyach, shkoyach.